Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending November 14th. I'm Linda Hechtel.
And I'm Allison Cranky.
And we're bringing you the latest news in environmental, health, and safety. So in our first story, Allison, I understand that you've got details on a new watchdog report.
Yeah, so a report that was released this week in the U.S. by a nonpartisan government watchdog known as the Center for Effective Government is claiming that small business interests are very much underrepresented in the U.S. and have been increasingly neglected over the past decade. Small businesses, generally defined as those with less than 100 employees, make up approximately 98% of all U.S. businesses and employ about 39 million workers. So that's about a third of the U.S. workforce, according to the most recent available data from 2011. Yet this new report is suggesting that the interests of these companies are being betrayed by the people that are supposed to advocate on their behalf. The U.S. Small Business Administration has an Office of Advocacy that is responsible for conducting reviews of regulations that are put forth by the EPA and OSHA, as well as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to determine what the potential impacts will be on small businesses. However, one of the report's authors and the watchdog's director of regulatory policy says that this process has been hijacked by big business and that its original intent has been distorted. This claim comes after analysis of almost 15 years' worth of federal agencies' records. Some of their information was obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, and they also conducted interviews with the relevant agencies. So since 1998, the Office of Advocacy has reviewed proposed rules on a wide variety of environmental and safety matters, including safe drinking water, air pollution and vehicle emission standards, and acceptable workplace exposure levels for substances such as formaldehyde and crystalline silica. But when they convene panels to review these issues, they regularly turn to big business trade associations and lobbyists to comment, rather than engaging small business owners or their representatives. So the results of their assessments, therefore, frequently went beyond small business concerns and ended up incorporating big business positions. This isn't the first time that the Office of Advocacy's track record of misrepresenting small business interests has been called out by government watchdogs. And in fact, earlier this year, the research arm of the U.S. Congress, the Government Accountability Office, actually independently confirmed many of the charges laid against the Office of Advocacy. One of the concerns is that the government bodies lack formal procedures that would verify and ensure that the prospective small business advisors are in fact representatives of small businesses. So that seems simple enough. The report recommends that the EPA, OSHA, and the CFPB screen the panel recommendations and the comments of small business advisors, and that each agency should develop eligibility criteria as to who qualifies as a small business representative. So if you're interested in reviewing the government watchdog report yourself, you can find a link in the resources section of this podcast. And also this week, EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy announced 9 awards in 8 states would be going to small businesses to support them in bringing new, affordable, energy-efficient technologies into the marketplace. So the awards totaled nearly $3 million in funding through the agency's Small Business Innovation Research Program. So coincidental timing, but it's good to hear that the small businesses aren't being completely ignored. And Linda, I think you have a story for us coming from NIOSH.
I do. So given that the weather's starting to change, NIOSH has posted a resource page to help outdoor workers protect themselves from cold stress, including hypothermia, frostbite, and cold water immersion. The NIOSH page outlines early and late hypothermia symptoms and the correct first aid measures for workers with hypothermia. Key measures include alert your supervisor and request immediate medical assistance. Move the victim into a warm room or shelter. Remove any wet clothing. Warm the center of the body first, so chest, neck, head, and groin area. And really use whatever you have available. So if you have electric blankets, use those. If skin-to-skin contact is necessary, leverage that. And use loose covering over the individual, such as dry layers of blankets, clothing, towels, sheets, anything you have on hand. Warm beverages may be used to help increase the body temperature, but avoid alcohol and do not try to give beverages to an unconscious person. After their body temperature has increased, keep the victim dry and wrapped in a warm blanket, including the head and neck. If a victim has no pulse, begin CPR immediately. Check out our resource section for further details that outline what to do in the case of hypothermia. And staying on the topic of winter safety, the National Weather Service has also issued their winter roadside safety alert. So essentially this information is for everyone, including workers, but is useful for everybody from a day-to-day perspective. Tips include checking weather conditions prior to driving so you're aware of what you're potentially going to be driving into. Keep your gas tank full to prevent your fuel line from freezing. Let everyone know your destination, the route, and the time you expect to arrive. Keep a cell phone or other emergency communications devices with you. Pack your car or work vehicle with thermal blankets, extra winter clothes, a basic toolkit, which should include a good knife and jumper cables, an ice scraper and shovel, and also include flashlight with extra batteries, and bring along a high-calorie, non-perishable food item and some water. Also, you can use sand or kitty litter under your tires for extra traction, especially if you get stuck in a slippery spot. So, Allison, I understand that you have an update from ISO.
Yeah. The ISO 45001 draft has failed to get the necessary two-thirds majority vote that it needed from its International Organization for Standardization Committee. According to the European Trade Union Institution, the provisions in ISO 45001 unfairly shift responsibility for workplace safety and health incidents onto the workers. The International Trade Union Confederation, or ITUC, also argued that ISO's in-progress standard for workplace health and safety could lead to a blame-the-worker system. These sentiments were backed by Public Services International, as well as other international trade union federations. The unions have characterized the draft as business-friendly and say that there is not enough of an emphasis on employer responsibility in ensuring occupational health and safety. In a statement, the ITUC suggested that the standard as it currently stands would lead to workforce scapegoats, not management solutions. The standard was initially expected to be adopted before the end of 2016, but it sounds like ISO 45001 might have a bit of a bumpy road ahead, so it should be interesting to see this story unfolding over the coming years.